The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
A statutory maximum working temperature is among the proposals being put forward by the union Unite to protect workers in extreme weather conditions. Unite is proposing 4 days of paid climate leave for those travelling in hazardous conditions, along with a maximum working temperature, which they believe is dependent on the type of work that you are doing. Joining me now is John Barry, who's founder of MSS, the HR people, and he's a member of the Irish Small and Medium Enterprises National Council. I'm joined as well by Tara Shine, who is CEO of Change by Degree. John, from a small business's perspective, do you think it is a good idea that workers who find themselves unable to attend work for climate reasons are reimbursed for it in terms of leave?
Well, I think it would be fair to say that it has been standard practice in terms of conditions of employment that when there are circumstances outside the control of the employer, that in fact staff can be legitimately laid off from work. And that has been the case for 20s of years, a long, long time.
So when you say laid off, as in told not to come in that day and not paid for it?
Exactly. And that's well established in employment law.
Tough on the employee.
Absolutely, but it's tough on the employer because obviously they don't tell people not to come in so they can not make production. So everyone is suffering because of this and no one has control over climate. That's a problem. And the reason why this is coming now is because people are fearful this is going to happen more and more and more. And we're already seeing the government now backing off on the additional costs that was imposed on small employers, especially in the last couple of years, because the pressure is putting on small employers, and this will only make it worse.
Is there an issue of duty of care to the staff member? Because if I'm economically incentivized to show up for work in the middle of a red warning where MedEarn is saying you should stay home if you could, that means I'm going to take a risk that I otherwise mightn't.
Well, I think we have had a couple of warnings over the last year, and it seems to have gone reasonably well in most circumstances. Most employers, in fairness, have recognised that people should not come in. But I think you'll even be aware that there's been complaints that in some areas, some people complained there was no storm in their area at all. It was fine and they could have gone to work. So we do see a difficulty even logistically in applying this principle across the whole country because there are variations.
There are variations, but the significant weather events, we are told, are going to become more common. Tara Shine, CEO of Change by Degree. In that context, is this something worth considering?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, ultimately, it's an issue of health and safety. I'm an employer. I run a small business, so the most important thing for me is to make sure my employees are safe. And these climate impacts, these climate events, it might be a heat wave, it might be a flood, it could be a storm like Storm Éowyn. The risk they pose immediately is that they make your employees unsafe and put them at risk. So that is the first priority of the employer, is to make sure our employees are safe. Now, if I put my climate change hat on, I absolutely know that these kind of extreme events are becoming and will continue to become more frequent and more extreme. So this is also just about good planning and good risk management. And again, what good business wouldn't want to be on top of all of that?
But if I run a shop and I discover, okay, I'm now in the middle of a red warning about a significant weather event, all of my customers are going to stay at home, I'm going to lose the entire day's trading, and now what I'm being told is the 8 or 9 staff that I pay for, I'm also going to have to pay their wages on a day when they are not there, or give them effectively a day off that counts as a holiday leave, which is the equivalent. That's expensive.
It is expensive, and what we should really be doing here is thinking about how, as a society, we're going to manage that. So number one, how do the employees get home safely? That would be your first consideration. Then obviously you have to minimize the losses to the business. That's going to be all kinds of things. It's everything on your shelves that isn't going to be bought, which is going to go to waste. It is paying for wages for people that aren't able to come to work. And for that, there is a role of the government as well in stepping in and supporting, as they do already, businesses when there are such extreme events. But what we haven't done in Ireland up until now is we haven't planned for it. So we know with absolute certainty what's coming down the line in terms of climate impacts. So what we should be doing now is helping and supporting businesses to do the right kind of climate risk assessments, to be aware of what's going to happen, to have contingencies, including perhaps like monetary financial contingencies, and have like strategies worked out with the government for how we manage these things so that we don't just kind of blunder into them, which is perhaps more so how we've done it up until now, realizing that these are real risks. So if people work in construction, in healthcare, in farming, even in just hot office buildings, there are real risks to people's health and to their safety that we need to plan better for.
Well, if we get into the specifics, then it is one thing to take the absolute extremes like a Storm Éowyn or those kind of, you know, once a year, twice a year kind of events. But one of the things that the union is calling for is that there would be leave given if you reach an absolute maximum temperature of 30 degrees or of 27 degrees centigrade for strenuous jobs. That's the kind of environment that a lot of people around the world work in all the time. Why is it that Irish people would be incapable?
Well, Irish people, our buildings aren't set up to keep us cool. Irish people aren't used to working in the heat. You know, there's lots of research done on this by the International Labour Organization and the Lancet, the health journal, looking at the risks to workers and also the risks to productivity when temperatures go up. So one thing is that as it gets warmer, your productivity declines. The second thing is, as it gets warmer, your body becomes under heat stress, and then your health becomes at risk as well. And remember, there are different people in an employee population. There are older people, there are people with underlying health conditions who are then at more risk from these increased temperatures. So what you're trying to do is find some kind of averages and limits to which you say, right, for most people in the workforce, above this, it's not going to be safe. And again, if we knew what those were and we could plan for them, it'd be much better than just stumbling into them. And worst case scenario, having people, you know, have to go to the emergency room or actually lose lives because they're not safe at work.
John, as part of the ISMAE National Council, ISMAE represents landscape gardeners, it represents fish farmers, it represents people who are in construction, bricklayers, all the rest of it. All of those small businesses, a lot of them have small businesses operating in those areas. Based on this suggestion, once it hits 27 degrees, down tools, I'm going home.
Well, I think, again, it's a matter of practicality because every building is different for a start. Every workplace is different. And people can come to accommodations. Now, for example, if it does get very hot, then people can take more refreshment breaks and take a bit more time off, but remain in the workplace. So there's no one for all suits everybody arrangement can be made. Secondly, there are a lot of buildings which are old and possibly could not be improved air conditioning wise, and they have to address those problems. But an employer does have an underlying obligation to make sure that the workplace is safe. So I would agree with some of the comments that have been made there, but in fact, there is an obligation to make sure that we are looking after people who may be vulnerable or not vulnerable. And in my experience, most employers in small businesses do that. In fact, they probably do
but
it
more. If I'm a steel fabricator and I'm running a business out of a big shed or barn, I now have to air condition the entire space if it goes north of 27 degrees?
Well, no, as I said to you, I think that is not practical, to be honest. But, you know, if were that to become legislation, employers would have to look at that. And some employers may decide it's financially not worthwhile while actually doing that in my shed. So they might open both ends of the shed and let air flow through and give more water breaks. And so everybody, he's getting his production and staff are getting the chance to recover.
Well, interesting precedent exists around the world. Tech saying, back when I was working in Australia, we worked on a building site and the union told us we had to go home because temperatures had gone north of 30 degrees. And then a question asking, so I assume schools would close in these conditions. What about that, Tara, the suggestion that once you establish something like this for the workplace, you have all these knock-on consequences where it becomes the norm for everybody else?
Yeah, no, look, 100%. You have to think about it in the bigger picture. So this isn't something for businesses to look at independent of government or the wider public sector. So in some of the Unite research, I was reading their report, the one they published, the Northern Irish version, where there is a quote from a family, a worker who has a family saying, I couldn't go into work. They worked in the healthcare sector because there was no childcare. So clearly you need a joined up system for this. And this is where, you know, having clear, solid messages around weather warnings is really important. So you don't want the government issuing a weather warning and then employers saying, I don't think it'll be that bad, because then the whole system starts to fall apart. So yes, it's really important. Workers can't go to work if they can't leave their kids safe. If they're told not to go outside, they can't even drive them down to granny and granddad or anything like that. So it is really important that we just plan for this. Think about it. There's this whole thing you do, scenario planning, where you say, should Storm Éowyn happen again, what would we do? Should Storm Éowyn happen and we're in the middle of a pandemic lockdown, what would we do? Yeah, you have to run these different scenarios and not just plan for one extreme event happening, but planning for one or two of these even happening concurrently, then what would we do? That'll help us to have the right plans in place. It's all around what we call climate change adaptation, having really good plans in place, understanding that the climate is inevitably changing around us.
What about workers in those settings where there is an expectation that it is they who do work in difficult environmental conditions? So, for instance, all of the air grid and ESB networks people who come out when there's problems with the electricity poles, all of the emergency first responders, all the people in hospitals, all of the people who have to work in things like telecoms and all of those systems, do they get some special dispensation, or do the same rules apply to them in an ideal world?
So I think there's even more need for planning. Yeah. And really, because ultimately you're trying to make sure those people are safe. So it's like, you know, it's like water safety. You don't want to get somebody going into the water to try and save someone and then you end up with a double drowning. You don't want to do that. So how can you make sure that those frontline workers are safe? That might mean that we need to have provisions whereby when there's a red warning, then hospitals have to plan. And some hospitals did this the last time. They brought their workers in and accommodated them within the hospital so that they would have coverage throughout the period of the storm. So those workers then have rights that need to be respected. Those workers also need as much warning as possible to set up childcare so they can do it. People without childcare, they have to have the option of not doing that. But yeah, we have to think through it all, because again, we need those emergency services and frontline workers to be protected, because you need them really importantly in these situations. And those organizations are very good at occupational health and safety and scenario planning. So again, we could be learning a lot from them.
Text to say, I measured the temperature in my office once at 36 degrees in the shade. We have no air conditioning and effectively work in an industrial tin box. P.S. No union. John, who should ultimately pick up the tab if something like this came into existence? Because if you look at maternity leaves, if you look at sick leaves, there is a point at which the state steps in to support the employer. Should that be the case?
Well, our view would be is that this is certainly a welfare issue, just as the COVID payments were a welfare issue. So we believe it is a welfare issue. It shouldn't be a cost imposed on an employer because you can't plan for these costs. And as I said, traditionally, these situations have been recognised as legitimate layoff arrangements. And if they're for a sufficiently long time, people can claim social welfare. Now, in this particular case, you wouldn't be able to do it in 4 days. But it certainly lies with social welfare. It doesn't lie with employers.
Although that ultimately means that everybody who is a taxpayer pays for it.
Well, spread across the board for everybody carrying the cost. But it also means, I mean, it's of note that the majority of corporation tax that comes into this country are from very large employers. So the small employers don't have a lot of spare cash at the moment, and they're trying to survive. So we've got to recognise that, because if you lose your small employers, then local industry outside main cities are going to suffer.
John, thank you very much. Likewise, thank you to Tara. That's John Barry, founder of MSS, the HR People, and member of ISMA's National Council. And Tara Shine, CEO of Change by Degree. Tech saying, what about hospital workers? I can assure the air conditioning doesn't always work in hospitals. I'd love to see people telling hospital management to send staff home and just leave the patients. Another, whatever happened to common sense? How can anyone facilitate this nonsense? Can I open the freezer to get some food, or is it too cold?
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.